from KQED.
Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. San Francisco officials introduced legislation on Tuesday that would outlaw the sale of e-cigarettes in the city and prevent e-cigarette companies from occupying city-owned property going forward. The bills would also prevent e-cigarettes from being mailed to addresses within San Francisco. Juul, which is headquartered at Pier 70 and is directly targeted by the legislation, says they don't want to see tobacco products in the hands of youth, but believes the adult market should still have access. Critics of e-cigarettes maintain that the products are addicting a new generation to nicotine and that this regulation, which builds on the city's ban of kid-friendly flavors of nicotine, is another step in the right direction. Here with me to discuss the new proposal in studio, Shimon Walton. He's supervisor of District 10, San Francisco Board of Supervisors, and authored this with Dennis Herrera, the city attorney. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. Also, welcome Gregory Conley back to Forum, president of the American Vaping Association, an advocacy group for e-cigarettes. Gregory Conley, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Good to have you. And Supervisor, let me begin with you. This is a four-part proposal, actually, that we're talking about here. But basically, we're talking about banning e-cigarettes, largely really to protect youth.
It's definitely to protect youth. If you look at the increase of young people addicted to nicotine, there's a direct correlation to vaping products. We worked so hard with the passage of Prop 10 in 1998 to tax tobacco and use the resources to provide education to prevent people from becoming addicted to tobacco and addicted to cigarettes. And we saw a major decline in people who were smoking cigarettes. We saw a decline in tobacco addiction. And now we have these products that have these new fruity flavors that are very attractive to young people. And so we went from weaning people off tobacco and nicotine to now having more young people being targeted and increases in nicotine addiction. And these are young people who would never have picked up a cigarette because of the taboo related to cigarettes. And so the industry now has come up with something new and enticing to young people.
And so the marketing is of concern, and we'll talk about that from Gregory Conley's perspective, but also of concern here is the role of the FDA, isn't it? I mean, the FDA hasn't really, they were supposed to do a lot of research on this, and it hasn't come through.
Well, that's where our legislation, one part of the legislation talks about the prohibition of selling vaping products right now until the FDA rules on marketing and how safe these products are. And the FDA has not done that. So basically, we have a product that is not known to be safe, and it's being sold to young people and sold to people in general. And the FDA needs to make a ruling on the safety of this product, and we should not be selling this product in our city limits or anywhere for that matter. But we have control over the fight in our city limits. This product has not been deemed safe.
A letter went out, in fact, from San Francisco and also Chicago and New York.
Correct.
About this to the FDA. Right?
Correct.
And we've got Scott Gottlieb, who was head of the FDA, moving out of that position, I guess, on April 5th. And let me go to you on this, Gregory Conley, because even though he's moving out of the position, he says it goes along with the ban, says it's needed.
Well, let's talk about what else Scott Gottlieb has said as FDA commissioner. Dr. Gottlieb has stated that if all American adult smokers switch to vaping, that would be a tremendous benefit to public health. And let's also be clear about what this set of ordinances actually does. All this talk about fruity flavors, it's completely unnecessary because San Francisco already banned flavors in vapor products. They went out and said, we're going to ban flavors. You can still get them in tobacco. If you want flavors, you can go online and order them. And then 6 months, a year later, they come back with this, modern-day prohibition. No real surprise for San Francisco, but disappointing from a public health perspective.
Well, you've been somewhat cynical about the motives of San Francisco behind this. Can you go in a little more detail of why you have that cynicism, if indeed that's the case? Yeah.
You can walk the streets of San Francisco today, and if you don't step in human excrement, you're going to see various people shooting needles into their arms while you're passing by the marijuana stores and various breweries. And not to mention the fact that every corner store in San Francisco, you can pick up a pack of Marlboros. If you watched the press conference yesterday, the main talking point was that these products haven't undergone FDA review, so they must be taken off shelves. Well, when is the bill coming to ban the sale of Marlboros, which certainly have not undergone FDA review?
Well, Marlboro now is actually conjoined in some ways to Juul. I mean, there's a big proportion of Juul that has been essentially invested in, that's become invested in by Marlboro, but I don't necessarily want to go there. I want to go back to the supervisor, Shimon Walton. Pretty strong evidence, though, about the effect on youth and youth being addicted because of vaping?
Very strong evidence. And in fact, it's always typical for people to try to take attention off of the facts and the issues and all the other issues that exist in San Francisco. We're, of course, working
like feces
hard
in the streets.
Correct. We're working hard, of course, to eliminate some of those other issues that exist in our city. But the reality of it here is we have young people now who are being addicted to nicotine because of these vaping products. And these products are being somehow ending up in the hands of young folks. So we can talk about all the other issues that exist, but the reality of it is this is an irresponsible product that is targeting young people. Had an opportunity to sit down with some of the leadership of Juul a couple of months ago. Had a conversation about how they said this is not any connection to tobacco. We don't deem this as a tobacco product. And then a couple of weeks later, they merge in some form with Marlboro, which is a tobacco company. And so to tell us that they're not focused on getting people addicted to nicotine, which is, of course, the addictive chemical in tobacco, lets you know that they're actually out here trying to make a profit, and they're doing it at whatever cost.
But they also argue, like Greg Connolly said, in harm reduction, that vaping with adults, and they're saying we're not marketing toward teens, even though that's debatable. They're saying we're marketing to adults, and it helps them get off cigarettes, get off nicotine, which is much worse for them, even though there's a nicotine in vaping, of course, but it's not the nicotine to the extent that you get from cigarettes.
It may very well be true that it is helping some adults stop smoking cigarettes and, you know, not have the same level of addiction to tobacco products. But the reality of it is nicotine is still addictive, and so they may be weaning them off one bad habit and connecting them to another. But this fight right here, as a member, former member of the Board of Education, as a parent, as someone who has spent most of my life working with young people, we have got to stop the predatory practices of setting our young people up for bad habits for the future. And what vaping products are doing with their flavors, with their colors, the attractiveness to young people, the way they're easily hidden, and people are able to bring them to school and disguise them from educators and principals and adults. That has got to stop, and we have to do everything that we can to make sure that these don't get in the hands of young people.
So, Gregory Connolly, we get back to the concern about young people, and the CDC said that youth use of nicotine and cigarettes generally has risen for the first time since the 1990s. The numbers seem to be there, don't they?
Well, we've seen year-to-year increases, then decreases at different points. But let's get back to what the supervisor was just talking about. You see the political rhetoric again. They're talking about these kid-friendly flavors. Well, San Francisco has banned these flavors. And not to mention the fact that, again, harm reduction, the idea of getting people who are using the most harmful form of a product and moving them to a less harmful. In San Francisco, that approach is embraced. We don't tell people who are at risk for contracting HIV, just don't have sex. We tell them to use condoms. We don't tell those people shooting up in the streets, oh, just stop using bad drugs. We try to get them into treatment programs. And again, you're going to leave real deadly cigarettes available on the market while taking away less harmful alternatives.
All right, let's hear what our listeners have to say, and I'm going to invite you now, in case I haven't clarified it, for those of us who don't know the nuances of e-cigarettes versus vaping, does the ban effectively also affect vaping nicotine? Can you clarify that for us, Supervisor, just before I invite listeners to join us?
What was the question one more time?
I'm sorry. Does the ban actually effectively also affect vaping nicotine?
It affects vaping products right now. And so,
how about vaping marijuana?
Well, marijuana is a different question, and I'm glad you brought that up because
it's okay to vape that. I understand.
No, actually, what my statement is this. Marijuana is already only focused and targeted to 21-year-olds. You can't even walk in a cannabis dispensary here in San Francisco unless you're 21. So there is no correlation to connection of making people addicted to marijuana who are underage. You have to be 21. You have to be 21 years old to even walk into a marijuana dispensary here in San Francisco. You can be 4 years old and walk into a store that sells e-cigarettes here in the city. You see the difference?
Let me get our callers involved.
There are adult-only vape shops in San Francisco that will be shut down by this. There's a great business owner in San Francisco that restricts entrance to his store to those 21 and up, and you are going to shut down his store with this legislation.
He probably should be looking at other products that he could sell in his store. Again, vaping products are new, and so people existed and stores existed before this product was on the shelves.
This is what we call a hot topic, and I haven't even given out the number yet, and every line is full. So let me give out the number. When a line becomes free, you can take it and make it available to you. The number to call is 866-733-6786, and I'll give it once more time. It's 866-733-6786. Other ways you can have your voice heard here, you can email us, forum@kqed.org, or you can go to our website, kqed.org/forum, click on the segment, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum, or go to our Facebook page. Gregory Conley with us by phone is president of the American Vaping Association. They're an advocacy group for e-cigarettes, and with us in studio is Shimon Walton, who is supervisor with District 10, San Francisco Board of Supervisors, and who wrote this legislation with City Attorney Dennis Herrera. Let's get our callers on, and we get a first caller. Matt, you're on. Morning. I'm sorry. Matt, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Thanks kindly. So I live in Oakland, but I work in San Francisco, spend most of my time there. And my bias, just to disclose, is that I quit smoking after 20 years the day that I got a Juul device. So the concept of harm mitigation has been revelatory for sure. But the thing that I can't get over beyond the idea that it's kind of insulting to think that kids are so wooed by bright colors and fruit flavors, and of course the idea that there are so many more important things to deal with in the city. But I'm curious as to what the supervisor's take is on how he is, as one supervisor in one city, could overcome the fact that Philip Morris owns 30% of Juul, and their lobbying powers are so much greater, I would imagine, than anything you'd be able to accomplish on a local level.
So, one, I don't know about insulting young people. I mean, the data that we have is collected from young people, and they have said the reasons why they are attracted to these products. But as far as battling big tobacco, as far as battling big soda or any large corporations that want to fight the policies that we fight for here in our city, we are well prepared to do that, and we've done it before and been very successful. So this is really about protecting our young people, and this is really about making sure that we don't allow harmful products in our city, and we will do everything we can in our power to make sure that that happens. And if that means going up against billions of dollars, then we're prepared to do that.
Let me thank you for the call, Matt. Good to hear from you. But I want to actually hear from Greg Conley. Gregory Conley, what about the fact that we now have the Alterna Group, that is the group that owns Marlboro, as purchasing part of Juul? Many people are concerned about this because it is, it's a cigarette company, tobacco company.
Well, it's good to know that Altria will be able to continue selling their cigarettes in San Francisco, which apparently, I guess, they are harmful, according to the supervisor. But also, there's a reason why Juul would accept investment from Altria. They are being targeted in nearly every state, every large city, with bans and taxes, and they are facing an FDA regulatory review process that is going to cost a lot of money, and the standards for approval are very, very unclear, despite promises by the FDA to actually bring efficiency and transparency to that process. So unfortunately, it was like a mob protection payment. If they wanted to have Altria give them their scientific resources, they sold a portion of the company. It would be better if they hadn't. But ultimately, if a smoker quit smoking using a Juul that is 35% owned by Altria, they have still quit smoking and improved their health regardless of where that money went to.
Supervisor, I want to get you to respond to that, but go ahead, do that.
Juul is being targeted because their products are harmful, and that's why several municipalities across this country are targeting vaping products. And for someone to use the terminology mob protection payment, I mean, that just tells you the reality of what we're dealing with here.
Why are you trying to get rid of Juul being at Pier 70? What's the thinking there?
There is no place for any tobacco product or nicotine addiction product or company to be leasing property that is owned by the city and county of San Francisco. And we want to make sure that that never happens again.
Greg Conley?
And here's the absurdity. They want the person, the supervisor who has been pushing that, perhaps the person on the line with me, has stated that a brewery would be a better choice for that that pier than Juul. You have a brewery where people are going to go drink, potentially get in their car, and actually kill people. Meanwhile, you're trying to throw out a good company that is providing jobs to San Francisco citizens. It is absolutely absurd.
I want to read a couple of tweets here. A listener tweets, every Juul user I know vapes way more than they ever smoke cigarettes. And another tweet from Titania who says, I do not think that a ban will help much. It might lessen the access, but it isn't going to keep people from making purchases outside the city. Let's get another caller on here, and let's go to you. This is Stan Glantz from UCSF, who, of course, has become rather famous in the world of secondhand smoke and its effects on smokers. Go ahead, Stan.
Well, I want to congratulate the supervisor and the city attorney for, I think, an absolutely brilliant piece of legislation. Because all they're saying is that Juul can't be sold and other e-cigarettes can't be sold in the city till they get approved by the FDA under the law. It's true the FDA hasn't yet required Juul to put in what's called pre-market approval. But in fact, Juul could have done that as long ago as 2016. What's going on is that the FDA is simply not enforcing the law. And what the city's saying is that we're not going to allow these products, which are technically illegal under current law, to continue on the market until Juul puts in the application and gets the necessary approvals to demonstrate that the claims that they're making, that Juuls can help people quit smoking, that Juuls are safer than cigarettes, are actually supported by the evidence.
And Stan, I want to go back to something I said earlier and hear what Gregory Conley has to say about it, because you've outlined, I think, an important point here, and that is the FDA has not done what it's supposed to be doing in the eyes of many, and the reality is, Gregory Conley, that as I said, Scott Gottlieb, you came back with other things that he said that were supportive, but he said the FDA may need to pull off the market because that's part of the fight against youth using e-cigarettes.
He has stated that if youth usage goes up a significant amount again, then you might need to pull a particular class of products off the market, not the entire category. He's repeatedly stated that the products sold at vape shops, e-liquids, open tank systems, don't appear to be greatly used by youth and are helpful to smokers looking to quit. And so total prohibition until FDA approval, which, by the way, it wasn't the industry's fault that FDA had to move their deadline. It was FDA's fault for being so terminally slow at actually issuing guidance. They were in a position where big companies, ones with millions or billions of dollars, would have not been able to file timely applications because the FDA did such a poor job under the Obama administration of being prepared for these regulations.
Well, Stan Glantz, we still have you on the line. You want to respond to that?
That's just not true. I mean, the FDA did take a long time to issue the so-called deeming rule, which it clearly laid out the process for getting Juul and other e-cigarettes approved, and they gave through 2018 for the companies to put in the applications and get them processed. As far as I know, neither Juul nor any other company has actually filed an application. Now, while the FDA hasn't forced them to do it, there's nothing that kept them from doing it on their own, and I'm sure that if Juul had put a timely application in 2 years ago, the FDA would have probably acted on it by now. And so what all the city is saying, which I just think is brilliant, is that we're not going to let you sell these things, companies, until you go to the FDA and go through the legal process and get them approved if you can. The fact that the FDA has delayed forcing the companies to put the applications in doesn't mean that the companies couldn't have on their own put the applications in.
Stan, let me thank you for that call. Supervisor, you want to add something?
Well, I was just going to say, and if these products are so safe and these are things that are taking people and lessening the addiction to nicotine and tobacco, then of course you should be jumping up and down and being excited about us wanting them to be deemed safe by the FDA.
And here's Elisa, who writes, my child has absolutely noticed more kids using e-cigs in the high school bathrooms because before kids would not smoke because they were scared of getting caught. Do you want to say something here, Gregory Conley?
I was just going to add that it would be absurd for us to jump up and down for prohibition. This is what this is. There are going to be tourists coming into the city of San Francisco expecting to be able to purchase vaping liquids, perhaps only in a tobacco flavor, and their only option is going to be Marlboro's and camels. That is not a wise or rational public health decision.
And here's Bobby. Bobby, you're on with us. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'm a little baffled at how the conversation seems to always kind of focus on the flavor of juices and stuff on for the e-liquids. And I don't understand it because no one's suggesting that we outlaw watermelon schnapps or any other sweetened alcoholic beverage and say that that's geared towards kids and kids will drink it. Therefore, everything should be banned on that front. I think it misses the real issue, which is the concentration of nicotine in these products. And for a long time, Juul was only available in a 5% liquid. And I think it's important people understand that that is a different delivery system of nicotine, much more concentrated than has ever existed, really, and where it's ever popular. And that's what's getting kids addicted. And they're starting to bring out lower concentration products, the 3% product, but they still don't have a 0%. And I think if legislators focus on the offering in terms of the real problem, which is the actual nicotine and how they have to potentially offer 0% if they're going to offer any, or a step-down method, it's good for people trying to quit smoking. And I think it doesn't addict the kids because they won't be smoking something that or vaping something that's so concentrated unknowingly.
Well, the caller brings up an important point, Shimon.
Well, no, I definitely agree with the caller that it is bigger than the flavors. It's bigger than the colors. But the reality of it is we just want to make sure that we focus on what is attracting our young people. But you're absolutely right. The nicotine, the amount of nicotine is what causes the addiction. And so I agree 100%. We should be having a conversation about all of the issues and concerns. And the fact is colors and flavors are what some of the surveys are telling us as to why our young people, even as young as in middle school, are actually trying vaping products. But I couldn't agree more that it's bigger than just those two issues.
And let me thank Bobby for the call. Flavor. Gregory Connolly, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to add again, San Francisco has already banned flavors. So when people like the supervisor bring up the evil flavors, this is politics at its worst because those products are already not available.
Well, his point is well taken. They have been banned.
We have definitely banned flavors, and now we want to make sure that we ban products that have not even been deemed safe. So thank you for that knowledge.
Here's Angelica who tweets, anybody who lives with teenagers in the social media and video content they laugh at knows that Juuls and vaping are a huge part of their culture. Suggesting they're not marketed to teens is delusional. Thank you to San Francisco. And we'll get another caller on here, and that's Vince. Vince, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for the call or the taking my call. This is for Supervisor Walton. I want to understand where he stands. I know his point here is that the e-cigarettes are not safe because the FDA hasn't deemed it. So has the FDA deemed marijuana safe? And as a father of two young children in San Francisco, I take them around. There's billboards everywhere, you know, advertising marijuana now. It's on the muni buses. I understand that you can't get into these places if you're not over 21. But let's just be honest, you know, teens can still find a way to get things that they're not supposed to have when they're not quite 21 yet. And so while I'm not necessarily for or against e-cigarettes, it does seem like we're really focusing on these people unnecessarily when, you know, there's other things that are going on that aren't, quote-unquote, safe by FDA standards that seem perfectly legal. So I'm just curious where the city stands and where the supervisor stands on that.
Shimon Walton.
Well, you're absolutely right that there are so many products and things that get in the hands of our young people. My job is to do everything that I can to make sure that that doesn't happen. And so I'm going to continue to fight for that. I haven't done the research in terms of what the FDA has deemed safe or unsafe in terms of marijuana. And so I will find out. But I guarantee you that there has been research from the FDA in terms of to support the fact that medicinal use of marijuana is something that does help relieve certain ailments. And so we've seen that research. But I got to go back to the point that there is a major difference between being able to be 21 and walk into a facility and buy a vaping product that is specific to cannabis than being able to be 4 years old, 2 years old, 3 years old, and walk into a store and vaping products be available to you.
That point is well taken, but couldn't you also, the caller made the point, say that a lot of the marketing may indeed be bringing youth in as far as marijuana is concerned?
We haven't seen that, and I would love to look at some of that research, but that's just not what we're seeing. But we are seeing, and we have seen the research that demonstrates and shows that these vaping products are addicting young people to nicotine.
And here's Gregory, who has, I think, another question for you, Supervisor. Go ahead, Gregory.
Hi. I'm against this, but it's not because I like corporations. I don't like corporations. Let's get rid of their personhood. But what's happening here is like when you have a dry county and a wet county, you're just creating a great black market underground thing. If you think the teenagers are too dumb to figure that out and to figure out how to drive a county over, get the stuff and sell it to their friends with a nice entrepreneurial markup, I think the supervisor is not really thinking this through.
Let me go to the supervisor. And then remember, Gregory Connolly did use the word prohibition, made the analogy. Prohibition, there was a lot of black market, a lot of alcohol. Why wouldn't we see this now?
My job is to protect the young people here in the city and county of San Francisco, and prohibiting products that are unsafe, prohibiting products that are leading our young people to a lifetime of addiction is something that I'm going to fight vigorously to do.
And Gregory Connolly, will you go on record as saying that the Vaping Association, all the makers of e-cigarettes, will fight to see that youth are not necessarily targeted here?
Absolutely. There's no reason for any youth to purchase these products. And all around the country, we are out fighting for enforcement of age laws. But again, you have a supervisor that's talking about how marijuana is restricted to 21-plus stores, and so that's fine. But they have the option in San Francisco of restricting e-cigarette sales to adult-only 21-plus retailers so the 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds don't have to see them. But no, they want prohibition of quote-unquote unsafe products while leaving real deadly cigarettes that are killing 400,000-plus people each year freely available in every convenience store in San Francisco.
Yeah, cigarettes are killing more people. It's still on record than AIDS and suicide and murders and automobile accidents all combined. You say what to that supervisor, that last point?
Well, he's 100% right that nicotine addiction and tobacco addiction is one of the most preventable causes of death that we have, and that's why we're fighting and we're coming with this policy.
Why not say just you can't buy these e-cigarettes unless you're 21?
Well, that's a conversation that may be had later. But and let's be clear, in San Francisco, we fought to ban cigarettes in our city and on our shelves in pharmacies and in a lot of our stores. This has happened before. So this
maybe
is
we're
going
to need to do it with e-cigarettes, too. I think that's what we're saying. We'll leave the debate up because we've come to the end of the segment. But thank you, Supervisor Walton. Thank you, Gregory Connolly. Stay tuned.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of the Minetti Schremm Museum of Art at UC Davis. On view through April 14th, Blue and Yellow Corridor, an iconic work by Bruce Nauman, realized on the very grounds where the artist conceived it.